We are in Revelation 21. And if you've read this, you will realize that what John is talking about here is the new heaven and the new earth. And, you know, we have this concept of, well, first let me start with going back to something. In chapter 19 showed us that we come back to earth with Jesus leading the way as he defeats all the evil forces. Then Jesus sets up his kingdom here on the earth and it lasts for 1,000 years. It's a period of time of peace and contentment. People who entered that 1,000-year period in human bodies gave birth to children, and those children have children. This leads to a tremendous population growth. Following those 1,000 years, Satan is released from the abyss. He deceives billions of people living in human bodies and leads them into rebellion against Jesus. They attack Jerusalem, and Jesus quickly destroys all of them. The unsaved dead are resurrected and brought before Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Satan and the unsaved are sent into the lake of fire for eternity. Now we're at Revelation 21. Yeah, you remember all that, right? In Revelation 21, we're talking about a new heaven and a new earth, and the idea of a new earth with a new atmosphere and sky is a familiar theme in scriptures. Many of the prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament spoke of the new heaven and the earth and the new earth. Like in Isaiah 65, he says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create a Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy." And then in 2 Peter 3:12-13, looking for a hastening and coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, what do you think of when you think of heaven? I mean, if you think of the comic book character thing, you think of angels with wings and everybody sitting on a cloud and playing the harp. Well, guess what? Thought of you this week. In the original Greek, the harp is actually closer to a mandolin. So we're all going to be up there doing a little soggy bottom boy kind of thing, you know. So for those of us that can't, maybe we'll just be in the sidelines like I do now and just listen and watch. But that, you know, that's kind of a comic book, but we kind of established that we think that we're going to have resurrected bodies, right? Maybe, yes, no. I mean, when Jesus was resurrected before he went fully to heaven, he ate, he drank. You could put your finger in the hole of his hands. We talked about that. The difference is that you're going to have unusual powers where you can walk through walls without opening up doors, you know, because Jesus did. So you're going to have all this kind of stuff, but it's going to be a physical place.
What are you talking about now? What we think of heaven as now?
What we think of. What it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
What it's going to be.
Yeah, we're going to encounter.
Right.
But Jesus had, he showed himself to the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to show himself as he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also you have to remember, now Jesus' physical body was without sin.
Right.
Not like ours. So I don't believe we're going to be no flesh. Myself, that's just my personal opinion. Because it says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, I forget the exact words there. So that tells me that this thing, we got two bodies. We want to be in a spiritual body. But now Jesus probably did appear to them in his whatever body that is, to let them know that he is, that's him.
Right.
It could be an image of your body without it being your physical fleshly body.
Yeah.
Maybe that, I don't know.
Yeah. But now I just know about that. Not flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom.
Well, I'm just throwing this out for conjecture. When we get to heaven, what are we going to do?
Eat a tree, drink the living water. There's a couple places. Either the tree, you know, somebody eating up a tree. I know that's in there, eating up the trees and living water to drink.
Enjoy the happiness.
That's what said, be
happy.
Joy.
That's
worship.
No, yeah, worship.
So we'll be able to recognize the people that have gone before us.
Okay.
Well, you know, when Jesus came back with Abraham and Moses, the disciples recognized them. They never met Abraham, never met Moses, but they knew who they were when they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Jesus. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a sense of community.
But it says we won't marry or be given in marriage.
Right.
Yeah. But we married Christ and God.
But, of course, you hear, you know, I've heard people say, well, if you recognize that if there's some form of recognition, well, then will you have the realization of those loved ones or people that you knew that aren't there, that they're in hell? So what happens there about sadness or anything, you know, are you not going to be sad that they're not there?
And he says there won't be a tear.
So, you know, that just sort of raises that question. Well, if you're recognizing people, then
maybe everybody we know
should be there.
Then, right.
Ezekiel 44 goes into that a little bit, but now that's Jewish Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It talks about that you'll go see your loved ones that didn't make it, and you'll get to go to them and try to bring them over. That's mentioned there, but now that's all in Jewish Old Testament idealism. It's not in Christianity belief.
Well, and I'm not going to harp on this a whole lot, but it brings up the if you want to call it a parable, but I'm not so sure it's a parable, of the man, the rich man who died and went to hell, and he's like, he said Lazarus was the poor man who was in heaven, and this was the rich man. I can't remember his name right now.
But he told his name.
Really?
Yeah. But see, part of the argument with that, I mean, as far as whether it was a parable or not, you know, a lot believe that it's not a parable because it uses a specific name.
Right. And most parables, it's the brother, the older brother, the younger brother, the father. It's all these, the young prince, it's all these generic, the blind man, it's not a person's name. Where that one, you're right, it is a person's name. And he's describing what hell's going to look like and what heaven's going to look like. Let's continue on. I ain't got very far yet.
He's describing the gulf between heaven and hell. It's about the gulf. Yeah. He's on one side of the gulf, and Lazarus is on the other. And he sees that Lazarus in the arms of Abraham, so right. He sees that Lazarus has made it.
Right.
So,
and he's
before the great millennium that many believe in.
And he's also being licked by fire where he
not
is.
Not in heaven or hell yet, but they're on the borderline.
Where fire could mean he sees that he's not with, you know, there's an inside fire that you experience when you know you're away from the God, you know, when you're away.
But he says, you know, just have him dip his finger in the water and bring me, you know, quench my thirst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, so that raises the question, is that part of your suffering in hell that you can see
right
in heaven? You can see across the gulch. Mm-hmm. And is that part of your hell that I didn't accept Jesus. I lived this kind of life, and I did this, that, and the other. And here I am, and I can see people that did.
Right.
But are you saying that you saved from that goal? That if you call it the Christ?
Well, if you believe in the millennium. Millennium gives, that's supposed to be that a lot of people believe in that millennium because it gives it a so-called second chance. That's why I don't believe in it. But I mean, there's no mention of that in the Bible. So, millennium, like I said before, millennium is Jewish in its teaching. It's not Christianity. It's Jewishism, basically. So,
let's continue on. I think we're in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, which is where we live now. And let me say this real quick, too. A bunch of the scholars that I've looked at says there's an earth and there's a heaven, which is basically the sky that we see here. Then there's the nightly heaven, which we see with all the stars and the galaxies. And then there's the third heaven, which is where God reigns, or where God is. So we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm guessing that means the first heaven you know, the sky that we see, that, you know, I don't know that we're supposed to understand. But
in the Jewish definition, a new heaven is a new ruling system and a new ruler. The earth represents those being ruled. So we're going to have a new one of those. It's not actually a new heaven and a new earth as we think it is. It's just a different system and a different system of people being ruled.
Huh.
New atmosphere that would be, you know, no more global warming, no more chemicals in the air, no more bad. It would be all
no more pollution, yeah. No more.
That's why we read earlier about the heaven being rolled up in a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't talking about actual heaven. That talking about the ruling people, the ruling system that's ruling the world on earth.
See, and I read too with the where it just mentions that the sea existed no longer.
Right.
That part of the early beliefs, well, the deal that when they referred to the sea, they were referring to our earthly governments and powers and reigning. So, you know, if it's used in that sense, you know, you don't have these different rulers, you know, over different countries, different kingdoms, and all of that. It didn't mean literally water.
Yeah,
right. I had heard that too. And basically, that water was, or the sea was, for the Jewish people, was more chaos. Yeah. It's a place that people would drown. It's a place that was unsettled. It's a place that they didn't really have a navy. They always employed somebody else's if they needed one, but they didn't really see the sea as a place of calmness. It was a place of turmoil. So there would be no more sea, meaning there would be no more chaos. There wouldn't be this upheaval.
We remember back in chapter 9, we talked about the abyss.
Right.
That was believed to be actually talking about things coming out. That's what they called the sea. Was the abyss, because everything associated with water, you look through the whole text,
right,
always has to do with destruction.
Right. And the beast came out of the sea, and you know, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Hey, verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So you see that familiarity, that beauty, the symbolism of the bride. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. So evidently, John's kind of just in amazement at this point. He's not even writing stuff down. And God has to remind him, hey, write that down, would you? Because it's, you know, this, I'm telling you this for a reason. But God is going to walk among us here on the earth. I mean, and we're going to get into more description here in just a minute, but there's going to be no sun, there's going to be no moon, and God is going to be the light. And just like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam, he's going to walk with men here on the earth. What was I in? Verse
6. If I come in, I read a thing in the reference about it coming down from the heavens. Was, get the what word now they said, but anyways, the way it was phrased in Hebrew was, that was to be sure to indicate that this wasn't a city that grew from, you know, like you got a small town and it grows,
right,
more and more people come in, it becomes a great city, that this was, you know, it didn't grow from the earth, from the ground up, it was a city coming down, you know, it was God building this city, and all, but it wasn't.
And let's talk about how big that city is. Please pass that around. Let me just show you real quick. This is the United States, and if we do the measurements by what they say this is going to be, that's how big this city is. 1,500 miles. It stretches from Maine to Mexico and over. And I found all kinds of maps, just Google it, and they'll put it in the Middle East where Jerusalem really is, and it shows where it could be. But I just figured that would give us an idea of how big this city that God's going to illuminate His presence is going to illuminate this city, and there'll be no night, no day for all eternity. So, anyway, and continuing on, and he said to me, it is done. Just like Christ said on the cross, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Questions or comments?
This kind of brings us back to the presence when he verse 8, doesn't it? Talking about even though they're not looking upon them, he's going back and telling you what is the faithless right here basically are not going to be there. I guess what the bride.
Right. And this is, you know, this place we've had, if you believe in the millennium, then you've had a thousand-year reign of Christ without any corruption. But here, after that time period, when they have the final judgment, this city is going to be inhabited with nothing but believers. It's going to be people who have reached their final reward that, you know, when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, this is what he's talking about. This is where you're going, and this is where you're going to spend your final time, and it will have no murderers or immoral persons or sorcerers or idolaters and all that kind of stuff. So it will be a perfect heaven.
In Isaiah 66, here's how the Jews look at it right here. And it comes to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, that all flesh shall come to worship before me with the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. So we got the all flesh will be looking upon dead carcasses. Now this is how the Jews look at it. It's like the eagles and the worms are going to be eating up the dead carcasses around where this is it. It's talking the subject here. I'll go back to verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth I will make, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, and so shall your seed and your name remain. So that's how that begins. So that's how 60. That's the Jewish look of what's going on here in Revelation.
Right.
I assume.
Anybody else? Verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit in the great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Which brings us back to, you know, God doesn't forget the Jews. Even in our understanding of what this is being revealed to us, that the Jewish people are remembered in the 12 tribes and all that. Verse 13, there were three gates on the east and three gates on the north. And this kind of goes back to the same, to the tabernacle time period that they had in the wilderness. There were three gates on the east and three gates on the north and three gates on the south and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. And the city was laid out as a square, and its length as a great is as great as the whip, and he measured the city with the rod 1,500 miles, its length and the width and height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurement, which are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city were adorned with every kind of precious stone. First foundation stone was jasper, then the second was sapphire, the third was something, the fourth was emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, the sixth was sardius, the seventh was something else, and the eighth was beryl. The ninth, topaz, the tenth, something else, and the 11th. Okay, so you got a bunch of jewels. 21, verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. Can you imagine that? If you got a single pearl that's that big, don't you want to see the oyster? I mean, you know, that is massive. And I saw no temple in it. And the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall. So you've got a walled city that doesn't really need walls.
That's what.
Because there's nobody to keep out.
Yeah.
You've got gates that there's no reason. The gates are always going to be open because everybody there. I mean, the only thing I can think of is God is making a place for us that will. You know how you kind of like this life, right? I mean, you kind of do. You like to go fishing. You kind of like to go to the beach. When they said there's going to be no sea, I was kind of upset. Because if I can't stick my toe in the sand and listen to those waves come in, I'm probably not going to be real happy. Because I like that. So I'm glad that we've kind of figured out that whole sea thing. That it's not, you know, I think there are going to be physical pleasures in heaven. That may just be me. But I think that what you're... The heaven, as God says He is making or beginning to make, I think when we accept Christ as our Savior, that's the beginning of us entering heaven. We are starting our journey into the heavenly realm. A lot of us don't make it that far and don't do it as well as we should, but I think that's the beginning. Go ahead, sweetie.
Well, it seems naive. It does.
Uh-oh.
But it just feels like, you know, there was heaven before, and there was all the angels, and the devil fell. And it just seems like that whole thing, I mean, everybody's good, everybody's wonderful, everybody believes in Christ, but it just feels like it's going to happen again. Like there's going to be another devil falling. Because everybody's not going to be really perfectly right and wonderful all the time up here, are they? Aren't these pure souls of ours, there going to be some still, somebody vying for power or wanting to be God? It seems impossible that there couldn't be that, because there wasn't the first time with the devil. So it just kind of bothers me. I'm not feeling as soothed as I wanted to about the new heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say this is all there's ever going to be for anything anywhere else. That's just what's going to be for us.
Okay.
And Satan ain't no more, so we don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
He's going to be, he's the first one going into the lake of fire, along with the false prophet and all those things.
So does Satan going away, with Satan goes all revenge, jealousy, envy, hate, power? I don't know.
I want to show you one thing before we go. Let me just finish reading here. And the nation shall walk by its light. I think that's where we were. Verse 24. And the nation shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there. Its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me show you one thing. When you think of that cube 15 by 15, it mimics the temple. It's the dimensions of the temple. But when you cut it in half, what do you have? You lay it on its side.
Pyramid.
You got a pyramid. That's just so strange. I don't know. That just doesn't kind of I don't know what that has to do with anything, but somebody else brought that up, and I'm like, it's kind of weird that Egypt's got the pyramids, and they're perfect, symmetrical, geometrical, whatever, and that's what the final heaven's supposed to be, the new Jerusalem's supposed to be. We got a lot more to talk about, but we are out of time. And so next week, we will have a short, it's only chapter 22, last chapter of the Bible, kind of looking forward to it. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a spoiler here. The last verse is, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen." I mean, kind of like that. That's a good ending for those writers who are looking for a good ending. That's pretty sweet. So we'll talk about chapter 22 next week. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Okay.